You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Hope you're having a wonderful day. We're going to make it even better yet now as we tune into God's frequency. This is WGOD. God is always broadcasting. He always has a word for you if you just go to where he speaks. That is in the Word of God. We're in a series here, Famous Chapters of the Bible, this is entitled, and today's program is in John chapter 3, and obviously famous chapter, so a whole lot in this chapter, looking forward to getting into this. This sermon came about a year ago as I was going through. I took about 4 months to go through what I thought to be famous chapters of the Bible. Next will be the Sermon on the Mount. That actually will be 3 chapters, 5, 6, and 7, and will be in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, Revelation chapter 13, Philippians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 2 the other day. So there's a whole lot of famous chapters in the Bible. So that's what we're doing here right now. Very soon here coming up, I'll be starting the book of Acts, preaching through the book of Acts on Sunday morning at 10:30. You are invited to attend one of our Sunday services. We are at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. We would love to. Well, we invite you. We will warmly greet you and welcome you here at Island Community Church. This is an awesome church family, and this radio show, WGOD, is brought to you by the good people of Island Community Church. Okay, we're going to start off today looking at a man named Nicodemus. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." That's our launching point here for today. This is part one of this message from John chapter 3. Famous chapters of the Bible, that's where we're at. Now, next week, as a matter of fact, the next 3 weeks, for famous chapters of the Bible, we'll look at the Sermon on the Mount. So that'll be 3 weeks, Matthew 5 or 6, 7, and 8. We'll get 3 weeks out of that. So that'll start next week. Here this week, the most well-known and perhaps the most famous passage in all the Bible, probably the most famous piece of literature ever recorded in human history, and that is, "For God so loved the world that he gave." Lest we forget that, there's nothing more important than that. God so loved the world that he gave. Notice he loved us so much that someone had to die. The love of God comes to us at the greatest expense that this entire universe has ever seen, and that is the death of his son. To bring about the greatest purpose one could ever conceive, to reconcile you back to God. Now let's work our way there and look at the third chapter of the Gospel of John this morning. We're in John chapter 3, verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, and no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." So Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, or verily, some translations say, Greek word and Hebrew word is amen. Amen. I sound like Vinny. Amen. Verily, verily, amen, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, back in the day before I became a Christian, I used to think that a born-again Christian was one of those bald-headed guys you see at the airport, holding up some sign. Now, the press, back in 1976, said that Jimmy Carter was the first born-again Christian to ever become president. So I say to that, have you lost your ever-loving mind? All genuine Christians are born again out of his own mouth, not mine. I'm just a preacher. We just read, if you're not born again, out of his own mouth, if you're not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. All Christians are born again Christians. If you're not born again, you're not Christian. And according to Jesus, you'll never see the inside of heaven. You'll never be part of and see the kingdom of God unless if you're born again. So what does this mean to be born again? The Greek word here translated again is actually the word anothen. A-N-O-T-H-E-N. Which means from above or from a higher place. Here's that word in action. Let me show you two other places this Greek word is used. James 3:17. It says, the wisdom that is anothen, or the wisdom that is from above, is first pure, gentle, willing to yield, full of good fruits. Also, Luke chapter 1, verse 3. Where Luke explains how he received his gospel. Luke chapter 1, verse 3, he writes, for it seemed good to me, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus. See, this phrase, from the very first, once again is this Greek word anothen, which gives us an entirely new understanding of this. Having a perfect understanding of all things, not from the very first, but having a perfect understanding of all these things from above. That's what this word means. Well, what do you know? Luke is telling you his gospel is inspired from God, by God. Now, back to what the Lord said here in verse 3. He said, most assuredly, or amen, I say to you, that unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus said to him, this is verse 4, he said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? All right, certainly Nicodemus misunderstood this statement. And he misunderstood the meaning of anothen as well, just like the others. He misunderstood what he meant by this. He meant to be born again, physically born. That's not what he meant. He meant to be born from above. Sort of like the way we misunderstand a word like the word cool. Now, I could be in a bathroom with a door shut and I say, cool. And my wife goes, what, did you lose another pound? And I'd say, no, the water is cool this morning. You see, you can misunderstand what a word means because it's got more than one meaning to it. Hence this word, anothen. Nicodemus took this word wrong, you see. He thought it meant just born again a second time, and you can tell he misunderstood it by his response. That's not what he's saying, you got to be born again. He really means you got to be born from above. Spirit baptism is what he's talking about. Verse 5. So Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. All right, now there's for the most part two ways to understand what he just said.
this phrase, born of water and born of the Spirit. The first way would be natural birth, referring to being born of water. Or what the early church believed for over 1,500 years, and that is the water here means baptism. So listen to this early quote from this guy named Irenaeus from the year 200 AD. Now, Irenaeus learned from a guy named Polycarp, who was the bishop of Smyrna. Polycarp learned from the Apostle John. So this is just two generations removed here. Now, Irenaeus believed, and that without owning a Bible, I'll have you know, Irenaeus believed that baptism was the means of spiritual regeneration or being born again. He wrote, quote, "As we are lepers in sin, we are made clean of our old transgressions by means of the sacred water and the invocation of the Lord," unquote. So baptism was a means of spiritual regeneration or of being born again. Now, I'm not taking sides in this. I just want you to see what the early church believed. For 1,500 years, this verse was interpreted only this way. To be born of water meant to be baptized. And certainly, that interpretation wouldn't surprise me one bit, seeing that so many of you in this church have been compelled to be baptized, same as all the other believers in the New Testament. People, the Holy Spirit compels people to run to the water and be baptized. Certainly, it's very significant. But let me show you why this statement from the Lord Jesus is not talking about baptism. And that would be the very next verse, verse 6 is going to explain verse 5 without my help. Okay? Let's keep reading. He's not done. Back to verse 5 again. Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, that unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now here comes his explanation of what he just said. Verse 6. See the link. Two things he mentioned. Water and spirit, right? Water and spirit. Water and spirit. Now he's going to address both of those. Keep reading. He's not done. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit." Everybody see that? He's not talking about that. He's already told you what he's talking about. He listed them both. So, born of water is born of the flesh. Born of the Spirit is that which was born of the Spirit. Or born from above, like he's talking about here. Simple enough, right? Sometimes we need to keep reading and let the Word of God explain itself. We just got to keep reading. Verse 7, "Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again," or born from above. "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone born of the Spirit." All right, this is a play on words here. The Greek word for wind and spirit is the same word, pneuma. So he's saying it's split up here in English, but that's not what he intended. It's the same word. When I read to you wind and spirit, he's only using one word. English translators have given you two words for it based on the context. That's always how you decide. Again, verse 7 and 8, he said, "Do not marvel, I say, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone born of the Spirit." Kind of just a play on words there, really. Meaning, we'll never understand the nuts and bolts of how this happens. That's all he's saying. We don't know where the wind comes from. Neither can we see the wind. But the Lord says, so is everyone who is born again from the Spirit, or born from above. So Nicodemus, verse 9, answered and said to him, how can these things be? So Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher in Israel and you do not know these things? Well, shiver my timbers. He expected him to know this. He expected him to know the answer to this. And that can only mean one thing, and that is that the Old Testament said it was going to happen this way. Otherwise, why be upset? He's the scribe. He's supposed to know. He's saying, why are you surprised? Or we hear him say before, you err not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. This guy should have known this. That's why he said what he said. So let me read to you where that is. That's Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 through 28. You see it up there. God speaking to Ezekiel, future prophecy. Well, this was 600 BC, future prophecy then. God speaking. He said, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Listen to what he says now. He said, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. You see, he should have known this. He was the Bible teacher. He should have known this. So, I mean, he's just saying this is what he's going to do, and he doesn't understand it. That's why he come down hard. That's why he made that comment to him. All right, so everyone good with these truths so far? To be born again means a new spirit baptism, or born from above. Not just necessarily born a second time, though it is, but it's born from above. Also, no one understands it. No one understands how the Holy Spirit moves in each of us. The Spirit is like the wind. You might hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it came from or where it is going. We know that God told them through Ezekiel the prophet that the day was coming that this was going to happen this way. And again, the Lord's saying, why are you surprised? It's right in your Bible. Read your Bible, for the love of Jesus, read your Bible. You knew this was coming. Open up your Bible and read, and you won't be surprised. Okay, verse 11. If you have a New King James, notice the we and the our is capitalized here. Most assuredly, I say to you, we, capital W, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? So just wondering, which were all those, earthly or heavenly? Well, here comes the heavenly saying. Next verse, verse 13. Heavenly because you're not going to read this one in the Old Testament. Verse 13, he says, no one has ascended into heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who was in heaven. See, now that would be prior to his resurrection and ascension. You see, before this happened, people went down when they died, not up. But after the resurrection, we read in Matthew 27:51, it said the people who had died before, they saw them walking around in the streets of Jerusalem. You see, when the Lord died, he went out and he cleared Abraham's bosom. All the righteous people who have died before followed him up into heaven. Now the Apostle Paul says, it says, absent from the body is present with the Lord. But before that is what he means. He says, no one has ascended into heaven except him. That's why he said that, and that's the difference between then and now. That's why the dead saints were seen walking around there in Jerusalem. Okay, verse 14. You know, I quote this verse all the time, but we never take the time to look at it. Let's take the time to look at it now this morning. John 3:14, again in red letters. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. So what does he mean when he says, as Moses lifted up a snake in the middle of the desert? What can that possibly mean by that? So let's go there now. Numbers chapter 21. Right after Leviticus, right before Deuteronomy. Numbers chapter 21. Let's take the time and look at this here for a minute. Is everybody there? Numbers 21, verse 4. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. I guess that would be manna, right? The one thing that's kept them all from dying? Boy, catch the attitude. Our soul loathes this worthless bread. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. All right, so that would be for squawking. Verse 7, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we've sinned. We've spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Now, listen to what God told Moses. Because this is what the Lord Jesus is referring to. He's comparing what Moses did to save the Jews with what God did to save all of mankind. All the whosoever wills out here. The Lord is saying, if you do what these people did, if you do what these people did in order to live, if you do what these people did, then you too can live and be born from above, which is what we're looking at here in this chapter. All right, verse 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. All right, so you must be joking, right? Make a fake snake and mount it on a stick. Man, oh man, are his ways higher than ours? Make a fiery serpent, set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent, and he put it on a pole. And so it was that if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Wow. And that's the Lord Jesus' example for how to be saved. Looking unto Jesus. That of all the examples he could have gave, he gave that. Moses putting a snake on a stick and raising it up. It says, everyone who looks at that snake. Now catch this, the Hebrew word for snake, nephesh, is also a proper name for Satan as well. Serpent, serpent, Genesis chapter 3, Revelation chapter 12, that serpent of old. He's saying, put that serpent on this stick, raise it up. Now, back to John. Back to John 3:14. All you can do is just bow the knee to this awesome God. Who would have... His ways are so much beyond ours. I mean, he just could have forgiven. I mean, what a word picture this is. You know, it's like he told the leper, well, you go swimming 7 times in this river over here. Swim 7 times and then you'll be healed. He didn't have to do it that way. All you can do is just bow the knee to God. bow the knee, worship him, call him God, acknowledge him as God. His ways are so much higher than ours, we don't understand. That's why we read in Proverbs chapter 3, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He's not calling you to understand it. He's calling you to believe him at his word. That's the message today. He's not calling you to understand. He's calling you to believe. He's calling you to believe. All right, John 3:14. As Moses lifted up this serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. There you have it. Whoever believes in him will not die, that is, spiritual death, because it's appointed unto us all to die once. Whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. So we can see what he means by being lifted up. Same as this bronze serpent, high and lifted up. We now can understand another text too, John 12:32, where the Lord says, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto myself." Now we can see what he means by that. The Lord Jesus Christ was lifted up and died on the cross. And whoever believes in him will not perish. The example he gave is a serpent on a stick. He said, everyone that's been bitten, and let me tell you, everyone here has been bitten. You've been bitten by this serpent. And all you got to do, he says, is look to him. Look to me. That's what he said to Isaiah. Look to me and be saved. Hebrews chapter 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look to me, he says. Same as these Jews looked at his bronze serpent on the snake, likewise, you look to me and be saved. All right, on to verse 16, tells you the reason why. John 3:16 is why. John 3:16 is why.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
This is Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. Thanks for listening today. We've all been to a funeral and heard a preacher say something like this about the believer who's passed away. We know he's in glory, looking down and watching us with all the other saints in heaven. Well, it's actually a popular interpretation of Hebrews 12:1, which says, "Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Well, John, who are these witnesses in that passage? Relatives? Someone else?
Wow, I understand that, Denny. I have heard that all my life. And the first thing I want to say is nobody in heaven is looking over the edge. No one. There is nothing in the Bible to indicate that anyone in heaven is looking down on earth. You're talking about what theologians used to call the beatific vision. They're looking into the glorious face of Christ. They have forgotten everything down here. It is long gone. I'm convinced they don't even have memories of sinful things, of a cursed world, a fallen world that could clutter their otherwise perfected, joyful, loving, peaceful minds. Nobody is looking down here. Nobody in heaven has ever answered a prayer from anybody, including Mary and any other saint. What are we talking about, the cloud of witnesses in Hebrews 12? Look, the 11th chapter is all about faith. This person had faith, and this person had faith, and this person had faith. And these are the witnesses to a life of faith. They witness to us. They give testimony to us of the validity and the blessing and the power and the usefulness of living by faith. They